All subject matter of the preceding podcast is entirely alleged and not admissible in a court of law. And just in case you rat bastards get any ideas, the hosts of this podcast are notorious and well-documented liars with no legally admissible credibility. This is Mama C, and you're listening to Notes from the Pen podcast. Welcome to prison, bitch.
Greetings from the prison industrial complex. You are listening to the Notes from the Pen podcast. And I have with me Cousin Greg, and of course I am, I don't know, a favorite anymore. Bill Cosby's in prison now. He's probably a lot of people's favorite. Aside from about 50 women, he's probably a lot of people's favorite convict now. But I am have to be on the list somewhere. And so today, I am here with Cousin Greg.
What up?
Here we are. Today I wanted to do, getting back to a little bit more of the format from pre-shit jump of having like a theme to one. And today I wanted to talk a little bit about like light stuff, like does God exist? So I figured we'd start there. You got any thoughts on God?
Yeah, since we're keeping it light, for sure. My upbringing was very religious, so.
Catholic.
Yeah, Catholic, Roman Catholic. Parents are from the Philippines. It's the predominant religion over there.
Spaniards.
Yeah, we got it from the old colonization. Mm. Those Spanish people really got around. And as a result of that, just strict Catholic. And I struggled with that and came out on the other end. I don't know, maybe 10 years ago or so. So that's where we can expand on that. But that's pretty much where I started at. What about you?
No, I was very much like Mama C was someone who like taught me these little a two-dimensional Christian, I guess you say. I think she thought in the 80s, like, oh, this is what most people do. I don't want to make them weird. This is who Jesus is and would read me certain things. I'd have to talk to her about it, but she was obviously not a fervent believer. I think she like, you know, we didn't go to church really. I remember there was a phase in my life where I was super fearful of the Old Testament God and shit, and thought like I'd get struck dead or so. I went to church by myself a couple times when I was like 10 or 11. But very quickly, I realized very soon, like, this doesn't make sense. Rogan has a bit about a kid with Down syndrome hearing the Noah's Ark story for the first time. He's like, he says an eight-year-old retarded boy. Of course, I would never say that, but that's what he says. He says, even if he heard it for the first time, he would have some problems. He was like, wait a minute. Is the earth even connected like that? They all walked on there. What did they eat? Because animals eat animals. But it didn't take long for me to realize that a lot of the literal shit on there was weird. And so I rebelled, you know, reactionarily from the complete opposite and was an atheist. That's when you knew, like me and Tilson was, you know, strict atheist. But, you know, after that, there might be something to this. And anytime you're basing your shit on like some emotional reaction, you know, I felt like lied to and tricked by, you know, sloppy logic and all that stuff. So I was like, well, then everything must be bullshit. And then to come to realize that there's some good stuff in there, you know, there's some good stuff in there. So you believe in God?
I do, but I'm not concerned with what to call it. So I think I do refer to it as God God. I was going to say Jesus, but that went out the window a long time ago. In my head, I think I say God, but I don't really care what we call it or what I call it. I started off thinking that, you know, the Bible was gospel and you know, this is just, you know, the Catholic dogma was the only way, believe that or not, so close-minded. But now I just believe in whatever. I believe that there is a God. I just know it's not. I just know it's not me.
Yeah. I think the answer, aside from not wanting to offend people, is no, I don't believe in a God in the way that, for all intents and purposes, no. I don't believe in anything that is like an individualistic thing, especially with a gender, but any individualistic entity that's separate, that is like looking down and not in the way what the term God means, right? I think the real question, I think that's, this is the, you know, when you get into these deeper things, that's where language starts to fail you, right? And so I believe the real question, because if there is a God, the binary nature or just the individualistic nature of words, if they're fragments of sounds meant to delineate things with specific meanings, meaning they're different from each other. So they're boxes, and putting things into words are putting them into boxes because they have to be this thing defined by this word. It also has to say, it's also saying what it's not, right? When you say an apple, it's, you know, aside from knowing what an apple looks like, you're also describing what it's not. It's not a piece of wood. It's not super hard. You know, so I think the words are inherently failed. We're also, just besides the language, we're failed by the concepts we can comprehend. So for all intents and purposes, if there is a God, we can't fully know directly, I believe, or describe or anything like that. But I do believe, I think the real question is...
You have 1 minute remaining.
Is how much time do we have left? And apparently, it's 1 minute. So I'm going to leave with this, and I'll hit back. The real question, is there meaning to the universe? Is there a purpose? Because they kind of go hand in hand. Is there a purpose to it all, or is it all just random and it means nothing? That's the question that I think is more realistic to try to address. And like many other things, thought a lot about it. Hey!
All right.
Hey!
Okay, we're back.
So like in the search for trying to figure out if any of this means anything, or if it's true, because I read a lot of different things. I'll read Ram Dass and Sir Thomas Merton, who was this Trappist monk, a Christian, who wanted to go experience, learn from like some Buddhist stuff. And he was in Europe somewhere, I think Germany maybe. His big homie at the church, or clergy member or whatever, was like, no, you can't go. You're kind of becoming a pretty popular writer, and we don't need it getting out that you were trying to learn some other stuff. And I don't think he wasn't trying to, like, shed his religion. He just wanted to learn about some of their beliefs on compassion and stuff like that. And he was like, no, no, no. And then eventually a new guy came in and let him go, and he went over there and studied, and he wrote some stuff about it, but he died over there. He went to, like, this Buddhist convention and got electrocuted. So I think trying to plug something into the wall. This is like in the 30s maybe or something, maybe 40s, but I don't know if that bode. I bet you there was whoever the guy was before that told him no is probably like, told you so. If you would have just listened. But so I read a bunch of stuff, and then I'll read stuff like Pinker, who's a strict, he's a scientist, he's a materialist, he believes that, you know, there really isn't free will and all that stuff. So I read a bunch of different stuff. And I guess the only thing we can do, right, is like look around and try to like observe things and infer meaning. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm saying, like, a lot of people say, well, I don't know, what are some of the arguments for, like, some people just take it for granted. Like, yeah, of course there's a God. Who else made this stuff? You know what I mean?
Right. Some people say, to argue the absence of God, and I'm sure you've heard this before, I bring it up because it's super annoying, is the classic, if there was a God, then how could all these awful things happen? If there was a God, why are kids dying? Why is there hunger? If there was a God, why do these terrible things continue to happen? Laziest right. question I've ever heard.
Which is ridiculous to assume, because that's already putting a really limited human perspective on, and I mean limited time-wise, how short we live and like how little we know about the quote-unquote big picture, and to assume that death and all this. So what do you think? Why do you think that there is suffering and shit?
I don't know. That's actually something that I wanted to mention, because you said a bunch of good stuff just moments ago. One of the things you'd mentioned was kind of about, like, kind of paraphrasing what you were saying, but two things I got out of it, which were God is not something that we can really, as human beings, we're very limited. So speech fails us, and our basic humanity is also a failure. We are not capable of describing things that, exceed human language, and it's something that we can't understand. So, ironically, I think the place that I really found some traction with whatever God and spirituality is in this world is like a court, you know, I was like 26 years old, you know, way later in life in comparison to, 26 years old and realizing that I don't know shit. And to me, that was a great place to start. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a huge place. That's the most important. I think that's the most important thing about being alive, is to be like, I don't really know. I'm open to anything. What makes sense? And let me first talk about the meaning thing, and then it kind of like will dovetail naturally into why I believe there's evil. First of all, the simple answer is that in order for anything to exist, there has to be its antithesis, its opposite, right? In order for anything positive to exist, there has to be something that isn't good and positive. Otherwise, good and positive wouldn't be good and positive. It would be nothing. It would be homogeneous space. So just by the fact that we're in a physical universe where there's things that are and things that aren't, for something to exist, there has to be its antithesis as far as on a scale. But when I was first thinking about, is there a meaning? I was like, well, it can't be based on any like ethereal shit that people are just saying or taking someone else's words. So you have to use observable facts and then kind of take those things and figure out what you can infer from them in the process. And so this is undeniable, right? That there is a physical universe that's come into existence, right? And I don't know, so there's the second law of thermodynamics has to do with entropy. And it's used for heat. It's saying like in a closed environment system that things go from order to disorder, right? That's the natural progression of things throughout the universe. It's a law of physics. If you have like a hot puff of, or if you drop a hot water in cold water, it goes from being this dense, organized, excited group of hot water, and then it dissipates into colder water and averages everything out, right? So the universe went from real, I've talked to this, the Captain Brothers before, the universe went from a singularity where everything was the same thing to explosion, and now things are getting disordered. You can't crack an egg. You can't unscramble an egg. Right. And the reason is, I was reading Pinker, the reason that the wind blowing the sand won't form a sandcastle is because there's so many other things that don't look like a sandcastle, right? Disorganized stuff that there's only a few ways to make a sandcastle. So the organization of individual pieces of sand, there's so many more other options that would make something that isn't a sandcastle. So the universe is, and that's an argument a lot of materialists use, is entropy. Things are going to chaos, right? But what life is, what physical life is that is, we are islands of entropy, where desperate, chaotic things or looser things are consumed to keep a system together, self-organizing system. So there's some sort of importance to life in this whole thing. And the fact that our universe not only makes possible, but I would argue by the size of it and the lifespan of the universe, the laws of the universe, the physical laws of the universe, are set up to guarantee that life will evolve throughout it in different places. So that's a hint, that's a sign of meaning somewhere. Like why do the laws of the universe allow for not just single-cell organisms, but there's a direction to the life, right? It goes to more complex. It starts simple, and then it goes more complex. So that's like a hint to look at as far as meaning. Why is that? Why is there something rather than nothing? You know what I mean? So yeah. My idea is that, well, I think I've said this before, I don't claim to know the answer or why, and I couldn't, but that it seems to me that the universe is set up to evolve to complex sentient life and within pockets of it as a way of it experiencing itself. And I don't know why, for what part, or any of that stuff. And in that process, this is why I believe evil exists. The mechanism it takes for life to get from a single-celled, non-sentient organism to a super complex sentient being that can observe the universe and express all kinds of emotion and love and hate and joy and pain and really experience physical reality is the mechanism it uses is Darwinism. It uses natural selection. And natural selection is something that, viewed through our eyes, is full of suffering and violence and pain and, you know. So I think if the purpose of the universe was to evolve complex life as a way to experience itself, and I will bring up later, a higher level of purpose, is that there's like this catch-22 that the tooth and claw mechanisms that we needed to get from a single cell organism, whittled away all the parts that didn't work all the way up to this complex thing that we are now, and a bunch of things along the way, the mechanisms it used tends to be violent. We need stuff like selfishness and greed and tribalism and hoarding stuff and killing people who threaten us. You know what I mean? And that even goes down to the viruses that end up killing us too. Like, well, they're struggling for survival too. So it's like this catch-22 that the physical universe uses in order to create sentient beings, right? So the argument is, at some point, that has to be shed. Like, that's a transitory period, almost like you put on all this winter gear to get to like this cabin at the top of a mountain. But once you get to the cabin and it's warm, you take the shit off. It was necessary, you needed it, but it's cumbersome, and you know. So I think that's why evil might exist. And I don't know, I'm getting really out there on some weird, probably hard to follow. I don't know.
No, I think that's a really interesting take, because I've always heard, you know, people wanting to put religion and science in two really neat boxes. You're either a science person or you're a person of God. And what I heard from you, and I don't agree with that, it never really sat right with me. As a little kid, I used to wonder, well, if evolution, why couldn't God have played a role in evolution? Because as a young Catholic, evolution was like the worst word you can say. But what I heard from you almost sound like a combination. It sounds like your take does allow space for science and the undescribable God, if you will.
Well,
I think that's interesting.
Science is a constantly changing thing. That's just a word we put on some shit, right? It's constantly changing. What was science 10 years ago, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago? It was vastly different from what it is today and what it'll be a while from now. And the idea that Science limits itself to the observable, the physical, observable, testing, repeating testing, experimental, able to be experimented on, a repeated physical universe. And if there is a God, then all of the physical, there has to be a, it's kind of like in physics, the unifying theory, the theory of everything that Einstein wasn't able to do, macro, micro, there's all these weird things. But yeah, they would all be together. And I want to say that this doesn't mean, I'm not claiming, by looking at these little things, like, oh, there seems to be a direction to the universe, and it seems to point towards complex sentient life. And one of the things unique about, so I'm just following these dominoes, and one of the unique things about complex sentient life is we can question things, and we can make connections, and we can go against, which I think is very unique, us and most animals, is we can go against the Darwinistic programming that got us here. You know what I mean? We can be altruistic and show selfless love. And that, right there, that thing, not to be all hippy-dippy, seems to be the real meaning. As far as I know, I don't think there's a God like steering this thing and creating it. It almost feels like there was this, whatever was outside of space-time before the Big Bang and all that shit, there seems to have been an urge, and like that urge, whatever, created this thing, and within the thing created was an arrow, and you know, the universe split into separate things, because we were all from the same shit that was forged in stars, all the carbon and iron in our blood, all that stuff. So we're of the universe, by the universe, and we feel separate from it, but we came up at, you know, as the universe. And but the special thing that seems to be universal amongst people is that without it is destructive, and with it can heal almost anything, and that's love. It's interhuman connection, it's compassion, it's generosity, it's like sharing all that. So it seems to me that that is the highest ideal of whatever transitory phase we're in of the evolution of the universe, and then so of our species. And I feel like that is a real big clue to or piece of evidence that lies in the camp of meaning versus non-meaning, that there is this all just like, you know, the negative destructive stuff that doesn't feel inherently good to every person. That's not what everyone's searching for, but everyone's searching for love. Everyone's love is so strong that people will kill for it. And me and you kind of talked about, we were having a conversation the other day about, is it better to be loved or feared, which is like Machiavelli's thing. And yeah, man. So, but see, there's a problem that's inherent with talking about shit like this, which is my fault for trying to bring up the subject. Is there a God or not? Or is there meaning in the universe? Is that it's hard to try. I'd much rather just have, like, a lot of time to just slowly kick it with someone, you know, over some coffee or whatever. Trying to force some of these things into little 15-minute segments is kind of, you're going to fall short. You know what I mean? But the universe obviously allows for complex beings who seem to be satiated and be searching for love, right? And to get gratification from giving it as well as receiving it and all that stuff. Now, what that means, I don't know. I don't necessarily know what that means, but this is where I think I gained an appreciation for organized religion later, is I go, oh, well, now let me go back and read some of the shit Jesus was saying, because he talked about love. And let me go read some of the shit Buddha was saying about compassion and empathy and all that stuff. And then, you know, or Confucius and whoever, when you go back now and read that through those things, it's like, I don't know, this seems to be a thing that seems to be very important to humans, which are little islands of reverse entropy, you know, that doesn't seem like an accident. It seems like with a miracle of life, which we still haven't learned how to replicate out of just chemicals, inorganic chemicals. I think that's a really big, that's as close to a smoking gun as you're going to get, is the fact that we're here and that love is a thing that seems to be very important to us. But realizing that, going back to the people who maybe were enlightened beings and reading their shit, I think can give you a better look on, and that's like a good starting point with some of that stuff, you know?
Yeah, agreed. Well put.
But I don't know. Who knows? Maybe none of it means anything. Maybe we all die and we're swarm proof. But I don't think so. I really don't think so. I have this feeling when I hit my deepest moments of realization after I meditate, or while I'm meditating, and it doesn't come as a thought, like a constructed thought, which is always like language in my head, which is how I know it's like I'm actually getting somewhere. It's a feeling, but it's a complex feeling in my chest, and it feels like when I die, I'm going to have this feeling. I'm going to go, oh. Like, I'm going to go, oh, shit, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Like, if the ultimate reality of the universe is revealed upon the transition from life to death, I don't know how to say it any better than that. That's the experience I've had, is I'm going to have the feeling of, oh, yeah, right, yep. Of course. You know what I mean? And I don't, obviously I can't explain that, because I would be able to understand it now if I could explain that. But I have a real, and that feeling that that's what's going to happen is very real to me. Like, that's a very, I'm very confident in that feeling, because I've had it a bunch of times. And it's almost like if there was a God, higher self, unified, whatever label, insufficient label you want to put on it, it's that God is going, like, I know you can, you just have faith. You'll get it. Like, when you know what I mean? How, and by that, like, oh, yeah, it's going to be the understanding of things like, how could there be suffering and sadness and pain and viruses and death and blah, blah, blah. You know, you're going to have a realization that goes, oh, shit, yeah, yeah, it had to be that way.
Right.
Or shit that I could never explain right now. But that feeling, I'm very confident in. I think there's also, if there is a God, I think that he, she, it, whatever, seems to want free will to exist. And for true free will to exist, there cannot be ever irrefutable proof of a God, because that would remove the free will. Because then you'd go, okay, there is a God, and he claims to want this and know this, and so this is what I got to do. And you know what I mean? I think that is another little breadcrumb along the trail of trying to find the truth. I kind of looked at it like, I forgot to mention this earlier. I kind of look at, you know, when they built like the Hubble, and they have like these bigger telescopes now that are looking for exoplanets to see how many, if we're like unique, that there are stars, planets around it. But the one of the problems is the sun is so bright, it drowns out visually the other things around it. So in order to, because they found thousands and thousands now, and they're like, holy shit, our galaxy is littered with like millions of exoplanets, planets revolving other stars. If they don't see the actual planet, what they do is they see a dimming of the star when it moves in front of it, and they see a wobble in the star, meaning that something's orbiting it. So, and it, they don't see the planet. They can infer the planet by what's happening to the, indirectly, they kind of infer that it's there. And there's like, that's how I look at those breadcrumbs, like the reverse islands of reverse entropy, the love thing, the direction towards complex life. And I lost my train of thought because there's been an announcement.
No, at all. I can pick up where you left off. Basically, what you're saying is that the point of life and the reason why is love.
Gross, man. You're so gross. You're fucking gross.
Though,
but in a way, it seems like that's the, I don't know if that's the whole thing, but that's, that's definitely part of it. I feel like the universe, if there is a God, it wants to experience itself or a fragment of itself that would be constrained by space-time, physical space-time, would want to just fully experience this theme park of physical reality, and that meets through everybody's eyes and perspectives. And that's all we are, a bunch of little nodes of God's like experience of itself or something. You know what I mean? And wow. Each one's different, and he needs to see what this thing is through Hitler's eyes, and the love that comes from saving, from the family trying to save Aunt Frank, and you know, all the things that in a closed system vacuum-wise you'd be like, that's bad, but then you're not seeing the big picture of it all, you know?
That's an interesting thing to say, because that is like saying that as we're evolving, God is kind of in the process of becoming right there along with us. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, wait, you said as we're evolving, God is in the process of what?
Yeah, that God is in the process. He's also participating in this, like, becoming along with us.
Yeah, that's a good term, becoming. There's some sort of unfolding happening that seems to be physical space-time. And that, so I think if there is some version, I don't think God is the right word, but I think the divisions, the limits to the human mind force us to, like, start getting into areas where you're like, well, how could he be this and not be that? How could we all be part, you know? Anyways, we're going to get way deep, and we've already got through a bunch of deep stuff today. I don't know how long this was going to be. It's a couple calls. So, do we have any viewer questions or anything before we wrap this up?
Absolutely. On the viewer question that we have today, that was great. The viewer question that we have today, no joke, it's a pure coincidence. It has to do exactly with what we're talking about. It's crazy. It must be God. All right. Yeah. So, one of our, we're going to go through a questionnaire. It's coming from across the pond. A loyal viewer, Ghost Gerbil. All right. Here's the question.
Yeah,
question for the podcast, here it is.
All right.
My phone, so I'm not straining my eyes. Here we go. Bearing in mind that I'm writing from a country that is both far less religious and far less murderous than the U.S., what are Chino's views on the impact, if any, of religion on U.S. society generally and inmates? He has mentioned some religious friends inside whom he admires, and some have and seems to have adopted Buddhist practices for himself to a certain extent. Also, religious fraternities have been alluded to, which don't sound quite so cheerful. A lot in there, but that's the question coming from across the pond. Yeah.
All right, and we'll be back next week with the answer to that verbose. You smarmy British, fuck you. No, I'm just kidding. I think here's the problem with religion. It's too complex for most people to deal with responsibly and handle responsibly. It just provides, understood superficially, it provides a hard line for tribalism, you know, and judgment and looking backwards. And also, like, a lot of the stuff that ends up making it down to you through organized religion, the words, the Bible, the all that stuff, is...
You have 1 minute remaining.
It was written in the desert thousands of years ago. You know what I mean? Like, I'm all right. I'll figure this out on my own. Someone figured it out on their own back then. If we're reading about it, I'm going to do my best to figure it out. So I think it's been, for the most part, been a net negative in society. And here, I think it's a little bit better. I think it's served even the religious fraternities, for the most part, really try to adopt. It gives some sort of structure and moral guidance, I think. I think it actually, in prison, it's done better. Yeah, I don't think it's used for as much, like, oppression or judgment as it has been in America. So.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ghost Gerbil. I'm glad you're still around. I didn't know if you were still around. Love you, bud. And to all the other pebbles out there, sorry we just dragged you through another annoyingly positive, which you can expect with Cousin Greg, you know, with his, yeah, his style. But, yeah, so, all right, well, let's get out of here.
Hi, everybody. Mama C here. For the complete library, full episodes, and bonus content, and mainly to support this cause, visit Notes from the Pen on Patreon. To learn more about Bobby and prison reform, visit our website, notesfromthepen.com, and follow us on Twitter to stay current. This has been another Notes from the Pen production.